There's banana caramel bourbon pudding French toast. Boy, it was good.
All right, Dev, sir.
You put that out of business.
Why are you doing that to us, Dave?
Well, you know how it is. When you're my age and everything, food is the number one thing.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, especially our downtown, it was nice seeing our a lot of people, both at Babe's and the kitchen, too, on the outside. So that's good for our to see our downtown vibrant.
Can you gentlemen hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can.
Can we all hear you?
And ladies, sorry.
Okay.
Everybody ready?
Yes.
We're ready.
Okay, call to order the Public Lands and Buildings Committee meeting this Wednesday, July 1st, 2020 at 4:30. Debbie, can you call the roll, please?
Walt Chanwicz?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Trakas?
Present.
Perfect. We'll get started today. Just to kind of rehash a couple of the topics we discussed a few months back with Maple Shade Cemetery. Mr. Schneiderberg, have you had the opportunity, or do you have any of the quotes or anything about the fencing that we had talked about previous to fence the cemetery in?
Unmute, Dave.
No, I think I gave you guys quotes prior to this. I'll look it up right now, but I think the fencing and the columns were somewhere in the neighborhood of $60,000.
Okay.
I think we had talked about maybe just over $100,000 for a fence that would go all around the cemetery. The question we had at the time was, where do we end it? You know, and there was discussion about perhaps procuring some property.
Yes, you are correct. If we went further in the Rockside roadside, yes, it would be upwards to $100,000. But I thought the Brettsville Road, the cemetery that we have right now, I think the estimate was somewhere around $60,000 or $65,000 with the columns, and that was with Tech doing the electrical work. And footers.
So you would need to have a budgeted amount of money in order to move forward on this project. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Understood.
Now, if you guys recall, when Doc Asaph was on council, didn't he say he was working on with RTA about a bus shelter or something? I don't know whatever came of that.
Mayor Tagliani contacted RTA, and they were going to put a more robust bus shelter up there from what I remember.
I do too, Jim. I remember that.
Well, the cement pad has been poured, and I mean, that was poured back in the beginning of the year. So there's no structure there yet.
Yeah.
Yes, I can comment on that. The structure is ordered. It's a actual enhanced structure. It's being painted, and it probably will be installed. I would venture to say within the next 3 weeks. She's going to give me an exact date, but I would think it would take no longer than the next 3 weeks. So it's been taking a long time for the paperwork and to get an enhanced structure with the gable roof that matches the cemetery motif.
Perfect.
Oh, so that'll be a little nicer than what we have at the Cleveland Clinic.
That is correct. The mayor wanted that. We were able to procure that.
Hmm. And Dave, you're talking about the shelter. It's the bus shelter that matches what we're doing. Okay.
Yes, Mayor Kurtz wanted an enhanced version, which is real nice. And yes, that's the one we procured.
So then the fence would come up to the, would be on either side of the shelter, and there'd be a break there with where the shelter is at?
That is correct.
I see.
Well, you know, I think just...
I think somebody needs to mute. Somebody needs to mute.
That noise has been with us since the start of the meeting, before that.
Now it's gone.
It's gone now.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments about the potential of fencing the cemetery?
So what's the next step in moving forward?
Well, I think at this point, we're going to have to sit down and come up with a budget on what we want to spend on, you know, fencing in the cemetery. And then we kind of can give ourselves some options on, you know, where we go with it. Does that sound correct?
Well, I guess it's at the point, do we want a fence or don't we want a fence? And if we do want a fence, we have to see if there's support enough to allocate the money for it.
Right.
For reference, $25,000 was encumbered already last year in 2019 for fencing for the cemetery. The capital plan for this year does call for another $50,000. Nothing has been etched in stone, so no purchase order has been created yet for the $50,000 allocation for 2020, but at least $25,000 there is tucked away on the side, committed already.
I think we should firm the prices up, so this way we have planned for $50,000 this year, and then we'd only maybe have construction next year if we need, you know, say $25,000 or so to complete the job. Again, if it's council's pleasure to have that done, I think we should, because of where we have the fencing in front of City Hall, in front of the Hemlock Cemetery, I think that would really enhance our cemetery here at Maple Shade.
Right.
Councilman Grindel, it's Dennis at Ultra Procurement Coordinator. You know, I would just like to, you know, add that this, because of the dollar amount involved, would require it to be formally bid, which will also, but, you know, before we can formally bid it, we have to have the specs, you know, nailed down and so forth.
Sure.
Just something.
Sure. And we have to figure what we need to be bid on and what our technical services, what our own workforce can perform as part of this job, too.
Dennis, Chairman, I would just, go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Dennis, can you frame up specifications for us and then we can review those? But I think everyone understands that we're looking at columns with some type of aluminum wrought iron or aluminum fencing, correct?
You know, that's correct. I can get together with, you know, Dave. I'm sure he has a pretty good idea what he thinks we should, you know, do there and have some, he's already done a lot of work on it and probably mirror what we've done at the cemetery that's at the, in the center of town. You know, that might be a good start.
Sure. Both the Hemlock and in front of City Hall, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would just add, I would like to see, and we talked about this last meeting, I just wanted to see if this could be included in the specs, to have Maple Shade Cemetery or Maple Shade or something writing over the gate, you know, the gates of the cemetery, make sure the gates are really appropriate. I mean, you see a lot of very nice cemeteries around all over the country, but really around town as well. I'd like to see something that really stands out and is a nice memorial to the people who are citizens who are buried there and who will be buried there, so that it's something that can be a point of pride, not just something you drive by on your way to Drug Mart.
I agree. So if we can, when we quote that, or we decide how we're going to quote that, if we can have that as an option, what that would cost to go over the entrances, please. All right, my next with the cemetery is I have been in contact with a gentleman by the name of Dwayne Harris. His name was given to me by Andre Law, who is the head of the Cleveland Catholic Cemeteries. And I know that you guys have discussed the turning the old stone cold storage building into a niche burial area. I had given Mayor Kurtz a copy of what he had sent me. We can actually purchase a column burial that holds 72 niches for just under $15,000. If you break it down, it only would cost about $210 per niche, where we currently sell grave sites at $450. I don't know what the numbers were that I had originally discussed converting that old stone, storage building were, but $15,000 for a column burial that can hold 72 urns sounds inexpensive, and we're not going to have to gouge residents with the one of those. So for council members, Debbie is going to send out this literature in Friday's packet so you guys can see what it looks like, and they have three different colors with it. It's built of granite, so you will see that. Just thought I'd run that by and see if anybody had any thoughts on something like that.
Mr. Chairman, I think that I appreciate the fact that you were able to do some research and give us some options. I believe that if we're talking fencing, we're talking location for a column barrier wall, we're talking about future build out, we're talking about extending the master plan and cementing a clear path for future generations to know where we're headed, and using all that 29 acres that's a potential. Leah, I believe has an information to give you some statistics as to how many burials a year, how many we have left, spaces we have left. And then I think it might be incumbent upon us to take the data that we've assembled over the years, layer it, and then see if there's a clear long-term strategy that we can agree on. And then we can begin the process of determining how we're going to implement that master plan. Because there's a lot of moving parts here, and I think there's a lot of opportunity to use this property efficiently.
Hey, sounds like the plan.
Leon, who's got the data that I requested?
Yeah, so I have it, Mayor. We're currently at 72 graves, unsold graves remaining in the cemetery. And we're averaging, in 16 we sold 20, in 17 we sold 15, in 18 we sold 10, in 19 we sold 6, and then so far currently this year we've sold 10 as well. So we have 72 remaining.
So we have 72 remaining. And how many burials do we have a year of the existing?
So of the ones that we've already purchased, so burials, 16, we have 56 with 40 old burials and 24 ashes. In 17, we had 60 total with 37 old burials and 23 ashes. In 18, we only had, these numbers don't add up, but in 19 we had 63 with 37 full burials and 26 ashes. That's kind of where we're at right now.
So the ashes are using full graves?
No, in some cases yes, but what you can put in four ashes if there's already a full burial, and then, or you can put up to six ashes if there's there's nobody buried in there currently in a full burial. So essentially you can in one grave you do a full burial, you can have five total interments, or if you do not have a full burial you can do six total interments. So That's kind of where we're at.
Say that again, the last part.
So if you have nobody's buried in that grave, you can put six ashes in that grave.
Okay. And we still have double deeps?
Yes, we are doing double deeps, yes.
Okay. So it gives you a perspective as to what we have in reserve.
Right.
And so we have several years of reserve realistically, but no one wants to put them, be in a position where we have nothing left. So I think we should either engage a professional or find out internally how we can take all the ideas and plans we've put together over the past decade or so, and then we can come back to the committee and share with you some thoughts, ideas, some cost estimates, and then everyone can weigh in and see if the plan we propose meets with your satisfaction or if you want to modify it.
Okay.
Quick question.
Go ahead.
My question is, are we still only selling graves for a time of need?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions?
So I think we went down this path 3-4 years ago. I remember when I ran the meeting and we discussed all of these things, and it never went anywhere from there. It kind of ended right there because it wasn't an important issue at the time, I believe. But now that we're coming down to, and if I'm reading the numbers right, we're about a year and a half is all we have left before we start running into not having enough space. If everybody did full burials, we've got 72 graves left, and if we average 60 a year, that doesn't leave us a whole lot. So we're getting close to that time frame where I think we need to make a decision.
The new sales are only about 10 or so a year. 10 to the high of 20. The 60 includes the folks who already have their graves, Tom.
Time frame where I think we need to make a decision. So we're only burying 10 people a year?
No. About sales, averaging about 10 new sales a year, 10 to 20 was max. The bigger numbers were actual people who had their graves already, plus the new sales.
Okay.
Now, I think if we had the lots available for sale, though, you'd see a number of people, including ourselves, would probably purchase that up. But we've had it just as need basis. So that's why I think that if we make plans now and decide the price, what the price point is and everything else, I think you'd see a number of people purchase lots like we did back in the 80s and 90s when we had open sales.
Well, sure. I think these things, I believe, are priced way under what competitive cemetery pricing is in Northeast Ohio. So I would assume you're 100% correct, Vice Mayor, that if we opened it up to just general sales, it's simple economics. When they're priced way below market value, of course, the demand, quantity demand, is going to be quite high.
Well, that's what we talked about, looking at taking another look at the price and raising it accordingly, and also giving options of a columbarium or other, because I think if you notice, more and more people are being cremated, and so that option needs to be available for residents too.
Yeah, and the thing about a master plan and agreeing on a strategy would be that we could determine exactly where we want to build that, and then we can construct that sooner rather than later.
Right.
With some options.
Yeah, in my business doing estate planning, and that for a lot of residents, and people that are over 70 or so, that is a concern. And many that have been longtime residents in the pens would like to, know that they have a final resting place here in town.
Well, let me ask council a couple of questions, and maybe you can help tee it up. Is it everyone's understanding that we, the property that we own up into the Cavs Road, would be potential long-term use for cemetery, or just a portion of that?
Well, that would be my next question. What would it take to, you know, prepare the property in the next section where the current gas well sits? You know,
like Jeff Markley's created some different variations. So that should be the baseline of our discussion. I think what we'll do is we'll take all the data, we'll synthesize it, overlay it, and then we'll come back to council with suggestions, and then council will be in a position that to lock into a master plan, and then we can facilitate appropriating monies to not only determine the different options for burials, the different long-term count that we'll have available, the ingress and egress, the walls, the fencing and columns, and then the long-term strategy for maintenance. Because we also have a few issues there that we can't keep dumping dirt over the hill. It just, we're gonna put ourselves in a real tough bind at some point. So why don't we, I'm gonna get somebody to own the outcome of this, and then we'll come back to council and share with them everything we've got.
Thank you, Mayor.
So before we leave the cemetery site, can I ask another question?
Sure.
Do we apply weed fee in the cemetery or some kind of weed control? Because I drive by and it looks like there's snow on the ground. There's so many little white flowers everywhere. It just doesn't look appealing when you drive by it.
No, yeah, no, I understand. They did apply weed control this past week. So that was done this past week.
Okay, is that like the first time we've done it?
No, typically the contractor does it every year, but this year they got a late start and they did apply it last week.
Okay.
I know clover is bad everywhere, and I think the cemetery is loaded with it.
So. Yeah.
I like the idea of having someone that's takes responsibility for the care of the cemetery, like we had a few years back. Because this, you know, like you say, you take ownership and the presentability. Right now, it's not as nice as it was once at one time. Everything. So I don't know. It's important to me. I mean, I guess since I have parents buried there, most of us do have probably relatives buried there. You like to have it as presentable as possible and as good a shape as possible. So I think you did say to Leon that you do have somebody, but he's not there 24/7 as far as during the week, is he?
No, so yeah, we have one employee assigned there. That's where he is. His primary responsibility is the cemetery. In the wintertime, we pull him back. He does, you know, snow removal and winter operations.
I see him.
And then he does respond when we have the, you know, he still plows it out in the wintertime, and he's still the same individual that does all the burials.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have one primary employee responsible for the cemetery.
I see.
So we'll go forward on that. We'll also add that the maintenance concerns to the discussion so that we can have a very clear plan for maintenance and the costs associated with that.
Director Harris, I have one more question about the cemetery and, you know, the, I know that, you know, Tim Topolsky is the main person that, you know, handles the cemetery. Do we have somebody else in the service department that like shadows him from time to time? So if he is not here or he's on vacation, that somebody else can handle his duties, what he typically does on a day to day?
So yeah, so typically we have like this summer, all summer long, we've had Dan Siaska assigned to the cemetery along with Tim.
Okay.
Last summer we had, I think Ryan Gorelsik was down there. So every year we do have a rotation with different employees, so you know, the employees can get a better understanding. So we don't just start relying on Tim and one other guy. We're relying on Tim, but then we're relying on a number of employees within the service department that will be able to help when he's not around, or when he's on vacation, or whatnot.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to kind of go on record. The mayor asked a question about, you know, the additional acreage over there. I would like to use as much of that for the cemetery as we can, so we could assure the, you know, for the next 100 years, basically, that cemetery. That would be my druthers. I don't think it would be appropriate to, you know, try to sell it for a commercial value. And I couldn't imagine us putting some kind of a municipal use there, but I think it would be appropriate and kind of a tribute to our community if we would use that for the cemetery expansion, and you know, try to be respectful of the fact that we're going to be, you know, a lot of people are going to be around a lot longer than we are, and we should try to assure the future of the cemetery for as long as we can.
And I'm in agreement with Jim there too.
I'll make
that direct to that.
I believe in that.
Okay, there's no objection. Okay. Does that complete our cemetery session? Any other questions? Perfect. Next on the agenda, I just wanted to give everybody an update. We're going to bring Dennis in, and he's going to give us an update where we stand with GPD. I know, you know, there was some time off there during this whole COVID-19 deal we've been dealing with. So he's going to kind of give us a up-to-date where we stand with that. Dennis, if you're available.
Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, this afternoon I spoke with Joe Steins. He's the project manager for GPD, and he's heading up our project. He told me that all the on-site investigation has been completed. He said there might be one or two more visits that they have to make, but it's nothing that's going to hold up the project, just for some clarifications on buildings or building systems. He said he expects in 2 weeks he will have a draft report available, at which time he will meet with Director Snyderburn, you know, Councilman Walchanowicz, possibly the mayor if you're available, and Inspector Blaze. And what they will do is they will review the report in a draft form. This way, if we would like some additional information on any section, or, you know, even if we want to redact something that is in the report, that, you know, we do have that option available. After that review, they will have a finalized report in about another 2 to 3 weeks, at which time they will make themselves available to do a presentation to the mayor and council. In any format that, you know, the mayor or council desires. If they want to do a workshop, or if they want, you know, do it via Zoom or whatever works for, you know, council and the mayor at that time. You know, I said it's gone very smooth. He said he's, you know, he's overall, he said our, you know, buildings and property, he said it's in excellent shape. He said there are some issues that will need to be addressed, and, you know, it's the only peek or clue he gave me as to what's in the report. So I think that, you know, in 2 weeks we will do the a meeting where the drafts are reviewed. You know, hopefully 2 to 3 weeks after that, they will have a formalized report available, and we can schedule that meeting.
It sounds like we could have a meeting there sometime in August. And maybe it'd be nice if council had, once the report is finalized, we could have like about a week to review it. So this way we'd be a little more intelligent in our questions with the GPD.
Councilman Grindel, I will ask that they, you know, have a report available and schedule the in-person or Zoom meeting, you know, a week to 10 days after the report is released, the final
Very
report.
Very good. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions about the GPD from anyone? Okay, we'll move on to number 3 on the agenda, the property at 6248 Brexville Road. I know Councilman Narduzzi had a couple of questions, potential comments on that. Tommy, did you want to discuss what you, your ideas you had?
So my first reaction was that it would be a perfect spot to have another safety force. And I actually mentioned it to the mayor, and he doesn't believe that it.
Hello?
There's enough room there to do it, but, you know, I don't know if anybody pays attention to all the sirens that go screaming by the center of town every day, or, you know, wherever. And, you know, I just think it's a good visible buffer to have some kind of safety force as you enter the residential part of the city. I mean, I don't know. I think in my mind, it would be a perfect spot to have. So I just threw that out there just to see what anybody else would say. And that's really not the reason why I thought we should buy that property. But now that we own it, I'm just trying to think of a better use of what we could do with that property than to just put up a fence and, you know, make it a little bit safer as far as the water going across 21, or I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just trying to see what else we can come up with for that piece of property.
Well, after we had talked, my thought was, you know, for what we had purchased that piece of property for, you know, the value of land, obviously, on Rockside is much more valuable. And, you know, if we have property that, you know, we can sell on Rockside, you know, why would we not at least, you know, look into it on a cheaper piece of property that we had paid for?
May I put a couple of thoughts out? When it comes to having an additional facility, of course, we have the issue of building it. We have the issue of maintaining it. We have the issue of staffing it. And considering it's not that far from the main safety center, I would kind of question that. I mean, it's an interesting idea, Tom, but there's so many costs that would go with it that would make me reluctant to think that would be a good plan.
I could add too, I would also like to hear from Chief on this, to get his take on the need for, particularly at this point, juncture in time, when we're still kind of up in the air about any possible changes in how our Rockside Road population will look. So we may or may not have as much of a need for it as we might have had in the past. I also would be, I guess, a little concerned about having it right there next to the adjoining property, which will be a residential property still as it is now. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, these are all great comments. I mean, there's a lot that goes into a decision such as a remote safety force facility. But I think Councilwoman Caboose hit the nail on the head. I've had conversations with the chiefs as well as some of the rank and file, and we need to reinvest and reinvent ourselves in terms of safety forces on Rockside Road because of the new demands, the new challenges. And so we'll be putting that together.
Thank you.
And we will be discussing it further with council. But I think, Kathleen, you hit the nail on the head. The chiefs and some of the people in the department have very strong opinions on with respect to how to manage Rockside Road in the future.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. What's the status of the land? Is it in ownership by the city, or is that possible to get an update on that?
Well, the last, Mayor, if you can answer on that one, because last week. Yes, I believe Don Ram or Coral has an update on the different various components that we've talked about. If they're not on, then I can address that.
Hello, Mayor. Yeah, I can speak to a couple of items that were previously discussed.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure about the status of the ownership, but I can speak to some of the. We had looked into demolition, and we had got some quotes for demolition of the structure, and that two proposals were very similar in cost, around $15,000 to demolish the home. And then we also looked at some fencing. This is a graphic. There's an existing fence here that the proposed fence would tie into. And we look into a got a quote. Tom O'Chanos received a quote from Independence Fence for footage that we're looking for, 425 feet, close to 10,000 for a 6-foot wooden board on board, almost double for vinyl.
Let's talk about the most important thing down the drainage.
Okay. Yeah, this is the situation that we have here. And we did research some of our plan information. And there is an existing sewer that was built when Rockside 21 was installed, or actually it existed, according to these plans, from 2004. This is the sewer that crosses the street. But far south of the end of the property line, this existing sewer runs all the way along this southern line, just north of the property line of the parcel we just purchased. So the sewer itself and two catch basin structures are located on the development property on the north, but it's extremely close to the property line. We did have a survey crew find locate pins. So these two corners are pinned in the field, and there's a ribbon through the woods. Basically, the shrub line, the brush line, the property line runs right through the center of it. So there's ribbons and stakes all along. It's tough to walk through. It's encumbered by vegetation. But there is a sewer here. When you look at, there's supposed to be a shallow swale ditch that runs through the woods. It's been completely filled in and due to lack of maintenance over the years. So I do feel like the first course of action would be to thoroughly clean that swale and help the water stay in there and get into the structures, and potentially add maybe one or two more structures on the main itself, given some permission and cooperation from the owner of the property here.
So to answer your questions, Mr. Chairman and members of council, first, it's under contract. We're completing our due diligence, and we expect that we'll be in a position to proceed. We are continuing to there's a company that offered services to do an abatement, go through that process for us and not charge us. So we're going to find different ways to be efficient and effective, and try. The most important thing is the drain water issues, security issues, cleaning up the property, and then we'll be in a position to some type of adaptive reuse of the property. And it could be as one possibility could be to put it back on the market in a situation that we can say what we want there as an interest to our community. We can clean it up. But right now, we're going to keep performing our due diligence and report back to council when we have a finalized opponent.
Very good. Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, Don.
Sure. Quick question.
Sure.
Off and on, there's been a sign in front of it, a for sale sign, which is kind of strange. Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, that was a sign that was put up there during the... There are several owners on the other side, left hand, right hand. And we were talking with one, and the other was unaware that the purchase agreement was being acted upon. So I think it was a communication gap on their side.
Thank you.
Was there anything else about the property on Brexville Road? Thank you. Next, number four. Mayor, if you want to address number four.
Yeah, we have, I think Dave Schneiderburn and others have some additional data to. But the bottom line is we've allocated appropriated monies over the past couple of years for security and upgrades to this facility. I think I mentioned once before that the building is going to be 40 years old in 2 years. There are a number, although the report that you'll receive shortly will outline the condition of the building, the structure, the different components. We've put money aside for back, the air conditioning system, the heating system. And we've also recognized there are some, we've made certain changes to the facility over the last couple of decades to accommodate more efficient use of the facility. We are, especially with this current situation and the situation outside the doors of City Hall, it's imperative that we begin as soon as possible to, during this slow period, in terms of public interaction, to incorporate the security measures and some of the functional upgrades that council has appropriated money for, and we'd like to get that going as quickly as possible. They most of our deal with bathroom upgrades or modifications, installations. For example, we have a in theory we're going to close off access to the City Hall portion, similar to what we have in the with the police department. You'll be able to enter the where the bell is, and you'll have access to a modified version similar to what we have across the hall. We would be putting putting doors in. We've had conversation with the original architect Cassini. We'll put in the glass doors, the bulletproof doors, ornamental doors. We will slide the reception area up to the middle. It'll be similar to what we have across the hall. We will put a bathroom in the that area out in the by the bell. We will actually, the original building where the original clerk, how am I doing so far? Anybody have any questions? Okay, I'll keep going then. Did you have a question, somebody? Okay.
No.
And then with the original room that was used for the clerk of courts when Barb Mack was around, we originally moved in the building. That would then become a clerk of courts additional room, because we actually cut a an area into the bell, bell area, where people, if they wanted to come pay a fine, could do it without having to enter or access City Hall. And so it'd be a completely closed down area. And the doors would be open, obviously, on court days, and they would be open on council days and any public meeting days. And we'd have a police presence to support the security upgrades. And so the facility itself, we would be putting those upgrades to initially would be, and cameras and using technology in that room, as well as council chambers, using additional upgrades of technology so that we could be more efficient and deliver our public presence to the general public more efficiently down the road. So those are some of the changes. One of the things I've learned sitting here for the past 7 days a week at times, there's no bathroom in the mayor's office. And so we're going to put a bathroom in the mayor's office. Norm Cassini said there was one originally designed, but they didn't put it in. So these are just some of the things that we're going to be incorporating into this initial project, and we'd like to get this done as soon as possible, so that when things loosen up and the public and we have these public meetings again, we've already incorporated these security and upgrade functional upgrades. And so the receptionist will be in a secure position. Right now we have the gates locked, and it's by appointment only and or a reception area discussion through the gates. Hopefully no one's been inconvenienced, but it's just a protocol we put in place when during the COVID-19 situation.
Does Finance Director Verne, how much do we have put aside for this already?
items, if Vern's not on, we have two line items in our budget. We have about $200,000 or $300,000, I believe, council's appropriated from previous. Vern there?
Yeah, we have, am I coming in okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We have in the mid-100s from prior purchase orders for generically listed City Hall improvements. There is some other money that was allocated for general government security. So that could be a separate issue, but as of right now, it's about $165,000 that's still available for City Hall improvements.
Yeah, their security is $127,000 and $165,000, like the finance director said. So we have monies available to do these projects and be prepared when COVID's gone. We'll be in a better position, and the entire staff will be much more secure.
You know, Mayor, I think now's the time to do that with this COVID business, and the foot traffic is down to a minimum there. It's the ideal time to get these changes made.
You're exactly right, Vice Mayor. That's why it's on the agenda. That's why we're trying to, some of these things we can do internally with our tech services department. Some of the things we can, we'll be able to, through our purchasing coordinator, we can buy right the more expensive, some of the security items, et cetera, and some of the structural issues that we need with long lead time, such as the bulletproof glass, we'll have to bid that out. Thank you, because we are, with the reduced foot traffic, it's a perfect time for us to do some of these things and not inconvenience everybody.
And it'd be nice, once we have a set plan in place, if we could have, I don't know, be a diagram or kind of a more concise that we can visualize in case we need to discuss it with residents on that too. I know you're still putting all that together, and I kind of visualize what you were doing, but it'd be nice so this way we can, but I have a pretty good idea, and I think the rest of the council probably this from your description on what the changes will entail.
Yeah, thank you. The concept evolves around people will have access to the bell area, but they will not have access unless they're granted permission to enter beyond that locked in area. There will be a bathroom there to accommodate those that won't pay a ticket, and there'll be an area where you'll be able to pay your ticket from that area, that specific area. If a court case, normally with court cases, the prosecutors here, we already have a police presence that supports us when we open the gates anyway.
The bathroom, a single bathroom, a unisex bathroom?
Yes, sir.
I have a question. I thought that we were looking at this once before, and then that Dennis was working with a group to look at campus-wide issues for security, lighting, all these things. Has that been put aside?
No, I think that we're just focusing on the areas that we know we have an issue with right now. The Civic Center, all of our facilities we have to look at, but certain we're probably further ahead with some than others.
So we've now extracted City Hall from that, because that was the whole discussion that we were talking about the needs in various areas, and we were told that it was better to look at holistically campus-wide, and then once we had that report to make our priorities or our decisions. So that's why I was asking, are we no longer going down that route?
No, we're still going to, from a technology standpoint, it's got to be comprehensive, because we want to make sure that our use of the technology and our computers and software are universal in terms of across the campus.
Compatibility, yeah.
Right. But in terms of the specific security items, that's a building by building discussion. And we, with the COVID, we're all here, so it kind of made it was easy just to start at City Hall.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor Whitney, Chairman.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I wanted to just challenge a little bit on some of this. So as I recall, building out a latrine was, you know, maybe $15,000 to $30,000. And, you know, we've got a public latrine right behind the desk there. Do we really need to build one outside by the Liberty Bell? I mean, the building's historically not had enough storage, and you don't have enough room for all the people that we have working there. Should we think about that a little bit? I mean, if someone really has to go, I mean, you can just escort them back to the latrine that's about 20 feet away from there. And it would seem to me that might be something that, would make some sense to us.
The challenge with that is that you'd have to let them in City Hall then. And we're talking about the foyer on the east side of the building, which is unoccupied, not used. We wouldn't change the footprint of the bell area itself. So this, you have to go through that set of doors before you go through that set of doors that goes outside. And on the right-hand side, there's enough of an area for a unisex bathroom.
But I understand that. I'm just wondering on the function, if there's a better use for that function, and you know, how great of a need would there be to have a latrine out there that, you know, I mean, we could escort people back. I mean, it doesn't seem like we have that big of a, you know, rush of people that come into the building that would seem to need that type of a function. And I'm just looking at it from a, you know, both cost and functionality perspective. You've got latrines right there, and so
yeah,
it just seems to be a little bit redundant to me, that's all.
Well, then they come to the police department and after hours, and so it'd be something that would be available. You know, I'm not married to it, but I still think it's more functional than not having it. Safer for sure, because I don't think we would want let anybody in. We'd still want to let anybody in without some protection. That's the purpose of the security.
Right, and then the second question I have along those lines is there, we're talking about security, is there a going to be magnetometers or to, you know, for weapon testing when people come in? I mean, we do have the police department there, so that might be something that makes some sense.
Yes, we have that portable use now with our policemen, so we would have that same concept, maybe incorporated into one of the doors that we open when the police are here. Police monitor everyone that comes in for a court date.
Well, I would just encourage you to take a really hard look at that second latrine out there and just see how, you know, how much you need it versus having some other higher use for it. I mean, again, when the building was built, we almost had no storage, you know, from the beginning. So that might be an opportunity. And I just encourage you to take a look at that, because if you're talking about, we're really talking about the functionality of a building. It's not that functional of a building because of the council chambers and a few other things. So, you know, maybe we ought to take a whole look at that as well while we're examining the security before we move too quickly. It's just my two cents on the matter.
You know, you're right. That's why we're looking at a new police station and adaptively reusing that whole police site for something else. But that's for a discussion down the road. Similar to what Brecksville just did with their city hall, they built a new police station, and they're adaptively reusing that portion of it now. So, yeah, there's a lot of different. Theirs is about 10 years older than ours, our building. So we're just ahead of the curve.
As usual.
Well, we're trying to stay on top of it. So if there's no objection, we're going to proceed to putting some stuff together between the purchasing, between tech services and the architects. We'll put everything together, and then obviously the council's going to have to approve the expenditures of this, because it's going to exceed my capacity. But I think that's the purpose, is to create more secure environments, and there's money appropriated for that. So we're just going to finally start doing it.
Mayor, did you want to try to get that on July's
agenda or August's agenda?
No, I'm not so sure we'd be, I'm not sure we'll be in a position to do something in July, but you know, with these Zoom meetings, it's a lot easier to call a council meeting. So so if council's willing, we can always call it. If we get ourselves our footing corrected, then we can always call a meeting. If not, it'll be probably August.
Yeah, Mayor, you're right. We've been having regular Tuesday meetings, which is a good thing as far as, you know, and we could always have a special meeting if necessary. But I think this is a great opportunity to get that City Hall security, because it's been on our radar for years, but never really got much traction. Now is a good time because of the situation for your staff and the architects to get something together. Again, we never thought about security in 1982 when the building was built. It wasn't an issue. You could walk right in and walk around, not worry about your well-being. Now it's a lot different world. So I applaud that you're getting this moved forward finally. It's been on the books for a number of years.
Thank you, and we will. We have got good people that really care about wanting to do this right. So we will continue to on this course if as long as council's accepting that. Thank you.
I know we've been talking about this for at least 10 years. The discussion started. I think we're long overdue to have something accomplished, because you cannot walk into any other city hall anywhere and be able to walk back to talk to the mayor, the directors, walk into the mayor's office. It just doesn't happen anymore. So I think we're a little bit behind in that aspect. So I'm all in favor of moving forward as fast as possible, and it is the best time to accomplish this in these crazy times we're living in now. So that's my two cents.
I appreciate that.
Anybody else? Okay, let's move on to number five, the dog park. Mayor?
I don't know. Someone's got a dog park?
That's one here.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Actually, Rec Director Walchanowicz, if you would want to take over the idea.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Tom, you're on the beach there by yourself.
Mayor, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yes, you know, this idea has been brought up, if I'm not mistaken, for a good 7 years now. It's been bounced around back and forth. In fact, I think one time it was on the five-year capital without any dollar amount on it, but then it was taken off. We tried to make do with our fields here. We have two enclosed fields that we would let people go on, but since last fall, it's the popularity of canines, and especially this past spring with everybody being locked down and people on the nice days allowed out and taking advantage of the outside, we're just getting inundated with everybody on the fields with their dogs. Does everybody still hear me? My screen went blank for some reason.
We hear you, Tom.
Okay, great. So this past spring, we took a day and we tried to go around and try and find a right place for a dog park. And we think we came up with a pretty good idea and a pretty good size of one, one for large dogs, one for small dogs. And Debbie, do you have that that you can screen share?
I've got it up on my screen now.
Okay.
It's not on our screen though.
I see Microsoft.
Yeah, we just see Microsoft.
Wait a minute.
I know this even goes back to George Klepas was an advocate of a dog park back during his 10-year tenure.
Correct. Yeah, this is not a new idea. Correct. Yeah.
Although, if you recall, when we had those meetings with Fairmount, or maybe it was the other group, we had that maybe it was the most recent group. Mm-hmm. That dog park came very low on what people wanted, but that was before the pandemic, so.
Okay, I'm correct. Trying to.
So what we kind of came up here with is it's not a permanent solution, a permanent location, but I think it'll get us by at least till maybe we purchase some extra property in the park here. The idea is using the old middle school property, and actually it will be the grassy area, which is directly to the east of the Kendall properties. And
it's not letting me share.
Can't pull it up, Deb.
Well, it's the green grass area between the Kendall's property and the driveway, the road, that parking area that the school used to utilize. Is that right, Tom?
Correct. It would be basically 225 feet by 115 feet. So we would divide that into two areas, one for large dogs, one for small dogs. I got some preliminary pricing just from some fence contractors. That would be the biggest cost of this, is obviously a fence.
So, can the fence be used, was it going to be designed so that we can reutilize it, take it with us?
Yes, exactly. So the fence, again, if this is just, like it says, you know, if it gets us by for, you know, a few years, 5 years possibly, until, you know, a master plan for that downtown areas.
No, Tom, maybe 2 years. Come on.
Well,
yeah.
Come on, Tom. You're killing me.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, this fencing would be repurposed if we needed to move it, so it'd be easy to locate. I got a price for a galvanized fence and also a black vinyl coated fence. The lowest price was about close to $18,000. So what we would need, what I figured, with signage and maybe some obstacles for the canines, would be around the $20,000 budget. We can do this this project. And again, we could repurpose that fence if we did relocate it to another property down the road.
So, Tom, have you looked into other dogging parks in Cuyahoga County and how they're operated on? I mean, I've got a handful of concerns that it bothers me to think that, you know, other people are going to be used in this park besides residents. So how do you keep them out? I'm sure that independent residents have their dogs vaccinated, but who's to say that, you know, someone that comes in from the outside, the dog isn't vaccinated or has all the proper shots? And I mean, the biggest thing that gets me is that everybody in Independence has yards. We don't have apartments. We don't have condominiums. Your dog can't run around in your backyard. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's going to cause more problem for the handful of people that are going to use it.
Liability issues are my big concern.
And then, if it's a problem with the dogs running on the field, put an end to it. You know, stop that. So they can't, you know, use that baseball field to let their dogs run. But to create something that's going to give us another problem, I don't know if I'm for that or not. I mean, I don't think it's a big concern. Just like when we had that, when they were going to put it in the center of town up there, it wasn't a big, it wasn't
no, it,
a big
it was,
problem for people.
You're right, Tom. It is one of the lowest demands was for a dog park.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, we live in New York City and there's no place to go. It's all concrete. I mean, everybody here has a yard. And if your yard's not big enough for your dog, then maybe you should consider not having a dog. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. I think it's going to create more problems than it's going to do good.
Yeah, Tom, I totally agree with your thoughts related to having animals coming from other places. And the other concern would be, you know, if you have a designated dog park, how do you take care of things like canine distemper and other things related to feces and the involvement of, you know, dogs picking up more disease from other dogs, particularly when you have a large population beyond residents?
Well, Well, you do have all valid points, but I will say that there are a lot of people that bring their dogs down here and use fields, and we did pull the gates off this past fall and into early spring because it just got out of hand. But if we do shut the fields down totally to the dogs, there are going to be some upset people. I'm just going to let you know that. So, and if we don't find another area for them, this is just again to help satisfy that I see a need. But it's up to council.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just a quick thing. I'm open to the idea, and I think there is a need. It may not be the most pressing need, but I understand where Tom's coming from. There are people who do bring their dogs, and it'd be nice to have a place for them. Could we think about maybe the Hemlock Trail? Every time I'm on the Hemlock Trail, there's people, I mean, it seems like out of 10 people, probably three of them are walking a dog on the trail. So would it be possible to perhaps direct people who want to walk their dogs in a public space to the trail? Because it seems like people are doing it anyway. And then to the points that I think Councilperson Narduzzi and Reverka raised, those are pretty valid points about, making sure the dogs are not spreading disease or, vicious or that type of thing, which you're always going to get. I like the idea. I kind of think we already have something pretty close to that on the Hemlock Trail, and was wondering, Tom, what you thought about that.
Jim, you're right. I mean, the same thing in a park, too. People walk their dogs, but the thing about a dog park is you can let your dog go and run off a leash. That's the difference between a dog park itself the trail or our paths around the park here. People want to let their dog off and just run, throw a ball, stuff like that. That's the difference in a dog park.
I think Councilman Senek was still didn't weigh in.
Yeah, I just applaud you, Tom, for your efforts in putting this together. Yeah. I'm not a dog. I had a dog. My daughter, Joe, finally moved out, and she has her own dog now. She decided to get one during this pandemic. But where she lives in Columbus, they do have sort of a dog park around there. And what I've come to appreciate is how a dog park is a point of social connection for fellow dog owners. I think creating opportunities for social connection is a very high and admirable goal for us as a city. And I support it from that standpoint, because the opportunity to bring people together of like values, of like interests, dog owners associated with fellow dog owners, we create an opportunity for social connection. And as the last 3 months have shown, the need for that is, the absence of it is quite painful, and the opportunity to have more of that is a good thing. I think it's a great location. It's near major roads. There's parking nearby. There's always the concern of, is it going to be overrun by non-residents? Well, that could happen in Elwood Park. They seem to manage that okay. And that promotion of social connection, a safe place for people to bring their dogs, and I think it's a great amenity that could be had. High public value, high public use, relatively little cost. So I think it's a great endeavor.
Thanks.
Who hasn't weighed in yet?
I haven't. I think that, it's something worth looking at. I don't know that I feel it's a high priority item in today's economic times.
Well, that's why the only reason we're suggesting this is because it's a low barrier to entry cost-wise. And a number of residents, some of the in that area, applauded the suggestion. So is it the issue of the location or the fact that you just don't think it's a good idea?
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't think that it's a prioritizing, that it's a high interest item, because again, I will reflect back to what Dave and I think a couple other council persons said when we did have that survey of downtown, and this was a resident response survey, that was came out very low on the list. I'd love to maybe revisit that actual survey so we can look at it again, but I thought I remembered it as not being of a high interest by the residents who responded.
You make a, Mr. Chairman, you, if I may, Councilwoman Capusi, you make a very good point, but I want, I've said again, and I think the rec director also reiterated, this is an interim use. We're not talking about a permanent use of a downtown area for a dogging park.
Gotcha.
The thought was, if we could get some energy, get some social interaction, get people to have something else to do, to go to and do with their dog during this time specifically. Oh, thank you, Debbie.
There we go.
The thought was, we have the property, it's almost perfectly laid out because we don't have to make any major installations other than a fence, and I've been assured that this fence will be able to be reused, and it just offers another thing for our residents to do. And if this is, if in 2 years we're relocating it or we're developing the downtown area, I'll be the happiest guy. But I want to assure everybody, and I'll reinforce this to the to the public, that this is an interim use. I do not believe the downtown area will be a permanent use for this. I don't think it's in the best long-term use, but it certainly gives us some flexibility and to see how much use it's going to get.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Mayor. This is a good chance for us to monitor to see if there really is an interest in it. If there is then we can look at a more permanent location. But like I say, I know a few years ago it was low priority, but things have changed, you know, with the pandemic and everything else. And I see more people walking dogs than I ever did in my life. So this might be a good chance to see, is there an interest, how it goes with the residents. I would like to see, hopefully mainly it'd be mainly used by our residents, and again, liability issues. I don't know how those work, if there is an issue, if there's an incident or that, how the city,
sure,
does not get on the hook for somebody getting bitten or other things happening. But I think it's a good way to test to see if there really is an interest in this, and we can monitor the usage of it over a period of a year or two.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is that survey, I believe, was for the downtown area, the low priority for a dog park.
Right.
I believe that when Councilman, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Councilman Klepez was passionate about, he believed that there was a community interest, of the majority, that would really participate and utilize it. So our only thought was that we have an opportunity to use a low barrier to entry to test the waters. And if in fact we go to redevelop this in a couple of years and we realize, wow, we really better find a place because there's a lot of usage, then the cats will get in the way and we'll be in good shape.
Can I throw one more thought into the, as we're evaluating, that particular location is directly adjacent to a resident, right next to it, and residents across the street, and just wonder any sound issues of having, you know, if it's very popular, that will be lots of dogs barking, and I know that for some people can be extremely annoying. So that location, interesting place to start, but it might be better someplace in the park away from any residents' homes. I know most of us probably wouldn't like to have it directly adjacent to our home.
Well, actually, I talked to one of the residents across the street when I was there one day looking, surveying the property, and she was had her dog, and I said, what if we converted this to a doggy park? And she said, oh, she was all excited about it. She says, all my neighbors have dogs. It would be great. So,
oh, cool.
Again, that's a small survey.
Oh.
It's a small survey. No cats allowed, but it's a small survey. But I applaud the fact that the rec director is always flexible in terms of always coming up with different ideas to, you know, when we presented, he jumped on board, and I never want to discourage anyone who's got an idea that we can
if it wasn't a lower barrier to entry and we had the property and it was going to be something that we can test, put our toe in the water. And I never thought of the socialization aspect, but you know what? You're right. People from other communities have said that there's a, it's a gathering. So I don't know. I'll check with Greg O'Brien on the liability, but we're talking about $20,000. Whatever the majority of council wants to do.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
He just muted himself.
You're muted. Go ahead and unmute yourself, Jim.
Jim?
Yeah, got the button again.
At least he got a better microphone.
When it's not muted.
Let's talk to the cat.
Yeah, see what he thinks about it.
I don't know.
They want a cat park now.
Well, we're waiting for Jim. What? What?
Go ahead, Tommy.
Well, we're waiting for Jim. And one thing that's nice about this, that this is kind of hidden from 21, so, you know, non-residents driving by, it's going to be obvious we're just going to promote it for our own residents, but it is, you can't see this area very clearly from 21, which I think is a nice thing.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
I'm terribly sorry. That's Chester the cat, not me. Just how do these parks work functionally? Do you have to have an employee there? Who cleans up the inevitable products that come from animals? How does that work?
Yeah, everything that I looked into, the signage is up, and it's at your will. It's not going to increase our overhead as far as operating costs. No employee will be there. We'll cut that grass just like we do now. So it will be no cost once the fence is up. And it's all upon the people to clean up after themselves, just like here in the park, there on the ball fields here.
Tommy, will we have those, like in the park here, we have those little stations where we have the bags and the specific can that it goes into. Will we have a couple of those in that location?
Sure.
Yes, and there's a list of rules that are posted that we would post.
Yes, correct. We
Yeah, there's a list yep. of rules we would post. I'm looking at some of them now. It pretty clearly outlines your responsibility. Dog owners' responsibility for an accident or injury inflicted by their pet. Don't allow your dog to harass other dogs. Safety of children's accompanied. It's just clean up after your dog. Vaccinations, et cetera, current license. So there's a number of rules that are important that we post.
Is it possible to have somebody from another city that has a dog park that could give us a little bit of a personal experience with that, just to give us an idea how it is operating? I don't know if what community else that has one, but it'd be kind of nice to get a practical review from somebody that has experience with it.
I can do that.
Yeah, talk to other groups, Tom, and then you can further that. But I guess I just wanted to hear, and what we'll do is we'll put together some additional information, and if we can raise the comfort level in the next couple of weeks, and maybe we can you can pass give us a motion to approve it at the July council meeting if we can satisfy the majority of council's concerns. But we will address these between now and next week. We'll address these issues.
Very good. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anything else on the dog park? Thanks. And then finally, if there was any other matters that needed to come, does anybody have anything that they want to discuss that wasn't on the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, we have a number of initiatives that the administration is reviewing and searching, seeking out. We've had meetings of late with a number of different people. We're trying to advance the ball in several areas. Premature at this point to discuss it, but I would ask that you would be willing to call a meeting upon it's necessitated by some of these things coming to the point where it needs action by council.
Okay. Just let me know when, Mayor, and we will have it done.
Great. So the takeaway is, the takeaway from the meeting, that just to sum it up, if I may, the master plan for the cemetery, we're going to put that together. We're going to worry about manage the master plan as well as the maintenance of the cemetery. GPD is going to put their presentation together informally in a 2 or 3 weeks, and then we will get a copy of it out to council once they've had a chance to tweak it. And then we'll get that out for probably 2 or 3 weeks after that. The 6248 Bricksville Road, will continue to do our due diligence, and we'll be able to outline some options for that as we get answers to some of these questions. City Hall, we're going to proceed with the architect and we're going to proceed with security upgrades and some of the functional upgrades. Dock Park, we're going to put some answers to the questions about liability, about what other parks are doing, and we'll get that to council sooner rather than later. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you did it all.
Yep.
Okay, we have a lot of work to do.
So the only thing that I had left was just for Tommy and Dave Schneiderburn. If you guys have a chance to just walk through some of the dugouts and stuff throughout the park, the gates aren't closing real well, and it's kind of mandatory now with the whole COVID thing that the gates need to be completely closed. And then I saw that there are some, I don't know if they got to the outlets, there's some broken outlets in some of the dugouts, so I have some concern with the kids and water. And also there's some broken fence brackets on some of the diamonds, if we could just kind of get that cleaned up so none of the, you know, kids get hurt on any of that stuff.
Yeah, we'll look into that in the future. If you want to relay that to me, or I would appreciate it, so that we can, on a more timely basis, not wait for a committee meeting to facilitate some of these things, especially as they relate to safety.
Okay. Well, if that's it, we can adjourn the Public Lands and Building meeting on July 1st.
Motion.
So moved. Second.
Second.
Call the roll.
Welchanowicz?
Aye.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you, members of council. Have a nice holiday.
Thank you, Mayor. You too.
Happy Independence Day. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Night.
Nice meeting. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Deb, you screwed up by a half hour.
I told you. You're in charge. You're in charge.
Thank you.
Okay, done by 6. Well, Chris said he wanted to be done by 5:30.
I know.